withstood Gabriel. He said, he withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. God bless you. You can be seated. And as you are, let's give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise and magnify him for his word. We give you praise, O God. We bless your name, mighty God. We lift you up, O God, and thank you for your word forever settled in the heavens. The privilege of handling your word in the house tonight. We magnify you for it. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Rachel, why don't you just stand right there? Some of you ladies gather with her right now. Sister Jennifer's been really, really sick and in pain. And let's just pray God move on that situation right now. Would you? Some of you ladies gather there. Let Rachel stand in for her mom and all over the house. Let's just lift that up and do the work of prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the word of the living God. God, move in that situation now by the prayer of your people, by the power of the name of Jesus, and by the promise of the word of God. Move there right now, oh God, and let healing move in that situation now. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Tonight, oh God, let them see improvement. Let healing move in her body tonight, mighty God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And let's give God praise and let's give him thanks for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Sunday morning we were working with this 10th chapter, and this is the story of the man Daniel. In the reign of the Persians. And so Daniel's getting a little older than when we first met him. And this is in the second kingdom that he's actually serving in. And he's in a time of fasting and prayer. And as he is, the angel Gabriel comes to him, as he has in chapters prior to this, and brings him a word from God. That's going to be a vision concerning the near history, the emergence of the Grecian Empire, and then a prophetic foreshadowing of the Antichrist in chapter 11. He's going to give that to Daniel, but as he comes to Daniel, he said, "We heard you when you first began to pray. And the prince of Persia has been fighting me. He withstood me 21 days. The prince of Persia, as we talked about Sunday morning, is a fallen angel who is equal or comparable to an archangel like Gabriel, because he held that archangel off for 21 days. And then another archangel by the name of Michael, who is the angel assigned to Israel and Judah, came and helped. They overpowered the prince of Persia, and Gabriel was able to come in and give the word to Daniel. Now, that's the way Gabriel portrays this to Daniel. Now, as we open this up, the study Sunday morning was about the fact that your children, according to Matthew chapter 18, your children have angels that are always before the face of God representing those children. But the proposition is this, that Judah had an angel by the name of Michael. But there was nothing happening here for Judah or for Israel except for that man Daniel that was on his face praying and fasting before God. And that opened up a portal. And in that opening of a portal, then there was exchange and commerce between the spirit and the natural, or the heavenlies and that is on the earth. And so the proposition is there that Judah was lucky to have a prophet like Daniel. And you are blessed if you're a young person or a child and you have a parent that is a prayer warrior. Because it opens up a season and a portal for you that you might otherwise not have. So it's important that we open those portals. Now tonight we're going to press this a little bit further. And I guess the heading of tonight's study is going to be an area that we would loosely call spiritual warfare. But it is very, very clear that there's a warfare in the heavens. When Gabriel is leaving Daniel, he says, now I'm leaving, but in a moment, in a little bit, the prince of Greece is coming. Or an angel assigned to the Grecian Empire, which is now emerging and who will ultimately overthrow the Persians under Alexander. And that's the next kingdom that's coming. But you see that these demonic forces follow those lines that are drawn by political and kingdom entities. And we'll remember that the apostle said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and the rulers of darkness. And you've got to understand that in the city of Birmingham tonight, there is a spiritual prince that hates everything that you're trying to do in your household. There is a demonic force over this city that despises the truth and despises your witness and your testimony and your victory. And he's working. If you read about the Antichrist in the Old Testament foreshadowing and in the reality of it in the book of Revelation, you find that he makes war against the saints. Now, that's the strangest thing in the world, because the White House doesn't know that you're here. And the Kremlin doesn't know that you're here. And the Politburo doesn't know. And the leaders of China, they don't know. And the commercial and banking leaders of the world, they don't know that you're here. But I'll tell you somebody that does know that you're here. Because of all the things that stands in the way of demonic entities and their programs and their purposes on the earth, it is the prayers and the faith and the testimony and the witness and the kingdom building of the people of the living God. I always thought how strange that he's going to make war against the saints of the Most High God. But it's Daniel who opens the portal, who causes the prince of Persia to have to fight with an archangel by the name of Gabriel. And it's Daniel who's praying and fasting and opens the portal that causes two archangels, Gabriel and Michael, to come down and beat his head in and then bring a word from God. Now you say, well, what is all that about? This is the system that God created. And God created it for the purpose of developing a people in the earth to live with him forever. Part of that, we worked with it Sunday morning. When Satan was cast out of heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. They began to be those dark spirits or those demonic spirits like the prince of Persia. Those are fallen angels. And they represent everything that's not like God. And they give you, by the creation of God and by the plan of God, they give you a place to exercise choice. And they give you a place to exercise faith. Because when you kneel in prayer, you are never alone. Now, I understand, you know, that God is always with you. But I'm going to tell you, there's somebody else that's always with you. Now, sometimes we come in this house and we worship and it's like we're plugged in and heaven is right here. And sometimes we come in and we begin to worship and it's like heaven is 10 billion light years away. But you know what we do? We just press right on. We just work our way right on into it, because we know the promise of God is true and the word of God is sure. And we know there's something in the spirit that hates revival and hates your victory and hates your joy. But what did Daniel do? Daniel knew God heard him on the first day. Daniel knew God heard him on the second day. But he didn't have a breakthrough till the 21st day. What do? You just keep pressing right on. When hell pushes, we push right back. When hell argues, we argue right back. When hell rises up, we rise up. Somebody say praise the Lord. Because I've already read the back of the book. And every time he mentions about the prince of darkness or about the Antichrist or about Antiochus Epiphanes making war against the saints, he said, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and shall have it forever and ever. And so it's a little glimpse there, a little bump there to get you over and to keep you oriented toward victory. Now, Where we left off Sunday morning, I have no idea, other than to tell you that when Jesus stood before Pilate, John chapter 18 and verse 36, Pilate is saying, "Don't you know I have power? Life and death for you is in my hand." And Jesus said, "You don't have any power other than that that comes to you from above." You got to understand this. All earthly kingdoms are determined by the heavenlies. And all heavenly powers, demonic powers, are determined by the heavenlies. And I don't have the time to do the study, the origin of evil, with you tonight, but Satan can only do what God allows him to do. He's a bad dog on a short chain, and God lets him do whatever God wants him to do. Which means if he comes knocking on your door, God said yes. And Brother Emery says it's because God believes in you. God knows you can handle it. But Jesus told him, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So the church is not involved in political activism. And the church is not involved in social activism. And we don't get involved in the issues of the day. Because his kingdom is not of this world. He said, "If it were, my servants would fight." He said, "I could call 12 legions of angels right now." And I'll just tell you, they were all around the hills of Judea and they had their hands on their swords. The angels didn't know exactly what the full plan of God was, but when those Roman soldiers started pounding him, I tell you, there was an angel one night that showed up and killed the whole army of Assyria, 180,000 Syrians. One angel killed them all. That angel and a lot of his friends were around that cross that day. But Jesus said, "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. But my kingdom is not of this world." We're not interested in possessing earthly kingdoms. And we're not interested in the political events. The nations are drawn to their present positions by the inexorable power of the Word of God. But his kingdom is real. And his kingdom is going forth. And his kingdom is in you. And you are working the business of the kingdom. That's why Satan wars and the Antichrist will war. And all the powers and the demonic rulers and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why it's warring against you. Because every time you pray, every time you worship, every time you witness, every time we come together for another service, every time we baptize another one in Jesus' name. And thank God for the 7 little ones that got the Holy Ghost Sunday morning. But every time another one gets the Holy Ghost and speaks in tongues, the kingdom of darkness retreats and the kingdom of God just keeps on getting bigger. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. This thing keeps growing, man by man, woman by woman. He's not worried about a square foot of dirt. He's not worried about a city street. He's not worried about a nation or a continent. He's come to seek and to save the lost. And he's winning people. And the people are the building blocks of the kingdom of God. Okay, so Romans 14 and 17, everyone say, "The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but is peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost." So God's kingdom is what you've gotten in the Holy Ghost. Pat yourself and tell your neighbor, "I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got the kingdom of God down inside me." When we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we're not praying for the Lord to return. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're not praying for God to return. God's kingdom has come already, and it is growing in the earth. We want God's kingdom to come in every school in this city. We want God's kingdom to come in every office complex in this city. We want God's kingdom to come in every dark street of every neighborhood in this city. My God, where the crack addicts are, and where the gangbangers are, and where the NASCAR fans are, and where all of those worldly involvements are, we want the kingdom of God to press his way. Thy kingdom come. Every day when I pray and I use the Lord's Prayer for a pattern, I quote the word of God in Isaiah 9 and 7. There is no end to the increase of his government and peace. And I pray, God, increase in my life and increase in this ministry and increase in my wife and in my children, in these precious people in this church and in every team and in every Sunday school class. Grow in us, God, by the power of your kingdom. That is the will of God. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Somebody say praise the Lord. This is not just about you being saved. It is, but that's just the first stage. Then it's taking the kingdom. Praise the Lord. How does the kingdom of God emerge? Well, we've talked about that for the last couple of meetings here, but it emerges by prayer. So tell your neighbor, the kingdom comes forth by prayer. Tell them the portal is opened by prayer. Tell them the portal is opened when you praise. Then the kingdom goes forth by praise. It goes forth by the word and by prophecy. Touch your neighbor and say, you need to be prophesying. If somebody just told you that, say, well, how do I prophesy? The Bible said they spoke in tongues and... The Bible said they spoke in tongues and the Bible said they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. When you get up in this altar, or you're standing in your home, or you're out on your prayer walk, or you're driving through the city and you begin to talk in tongues, what do you think God is doing? Do you think God's going through his list? Well, I need to get the oil changed and I need to balance the checkbook. No, that's what you're doing in your natural mind when you're talking in tongues. But don't worry about it. I used to feel condemned over what my natural mind was doing while I'm talking in tongues. But it doesn't matter. You're just a participant in the way that you're a vessel. But your natural mind is not necessary for the powerful thing that God is doing. You're just like a little kid that daddy has by the hand and he lets you come to work with him. And you're sitting there swinging your feet and your feet don't even touch the floor. And he's doing something that has destiny and power involved in it. And you don't have the slightest idea. Well, that's what's happening when you're talking in tongues. God's changing things and moving things and proclaiming things. And you are prophesying about things that are taking shape in the world by the power of his Spirit. So shake your neighbor and say, you need to be prophesying. Because the kingdom goes forth by prophecy. Amen. All right. Now, let's move into this. So we understand the principles in Daniel chapter 10. And the warring there between those angelics. And the role that Daniel played in that, because if the man is not praying there on the ground, then the angelic activity is not happening. So understand me, revival is not happening everywhere. It's not happening everywhere. Every church is not having revival. Every family is not having revival. Every country is not having revival. Wherever it's happening because those constant principles, those static principles of the Word of God are in place everywhere. I believe revival is possible everywhere. But it's not happening everywhere because there's not a Daniel on the ground everywhere. But anywhere you find one man or one woman that's willing to dig in and say, God, I'm going to press on until I see something break loose in the Holy Ghost. God, I believe your word is real for my time. I believe your word is real for my home. I believe your word is real for this church. My God, is there anybody here that believes that? You can shake a city. You can shake your home. You can change your workplace. You can shake your school. It's not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And these are all spiritual activities, prayer and prophecy and praise. And the very nature of the covenant that you walk in, those are the things that bring about the kingdom of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to move through here pretty quickly tonight. Ephesians 6 and beginning in verse 12. Everyone say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Touch your neighbor and say, well, you're fighting some powerful stuff. But greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Tell them there's no devil that can stand before the name of Jesus. Tell them every knee's got to bow and every tongue's got to confess. You believe that? My God, you're dangerous in the spirit. You're dangerous in the realm of this business of spiritual warfare. The smallest monk. I tell you, I love this. Sister Erica was telling me about Kaysen getting the Holy Ghost Sunday morning. And she's kind of quizzing him because he's young. And, you know, little ones emulate a lot of things. Our kids talk in tongues before they ever get the Holy Ghost. And then they just keep on talking in tongues. But how do you know where they cross over? So Kaysen's standing there and she's quizzing him about it. And he says, what was he saying? I love you, Jesus. I kept messing up. I couldn't say I love you, Jesus anymore. Something else was happening. Well, as far as I know, Kaysen, you're the shortest and the newest in the house to have the Holy Ghost. But get this and understand this. Greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world. Jesus said, Jesus in eulogizing John said, never has there been a greater prophet to be born of a woman than John. He said, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. If you're impressed by the Old Testament prophets, stand up and understand what God has put in you. The spirit of Elijah is in you. The spirit of Moses is in you. The spirit of the miracles of old is in you. Greater. Well, praise God. So let's press through this a little bit. Wherefore, verse 13, take the whole armor of God so that you can withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. There's a premium just placed on standing. He said, and having done all to stand, stand. Have you done everything you can to stand? Well, stand. He's letting you know you're going to get your head knocked in. He's coming after you. Something's going to happen. You're going to go through a valley. Everything in the world is going to fall down around your ears one day. Somebody's going to betray you. Somebody will lie about you. Your heart's going to get broken. Your feelings are going to get hurt. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to have some failures in your life. But stand! He said, there's a premium in standing. If you're going to succeed in spiritual warfare, the first thing you've got to get in your mind is, I'm not moving. If I move, it's going to be forward. I'm gaining ground. I'm going to take his territory, but I'm drawing a line right now. He's not having my house. He's not having my kids. He can't have my ministry. He can't have my prayer life. He can't have my joy. He can't have my righteousness. I'm not backing up on holiness. He can't have anything that God has given me. Pharaoh said, Moses, you can go, but leave your family and leave your flocks and leave your stuff. And Moses said, we're taking everything. Not one hoof is going to be left behind. Well, that's the way I feel about it tonight. Somebody needs to draw a line and take a stand and say, there was an old timer somewhere preaching the word of God so that it was still being preached in the day that I came into an apostolic church. Don't let it be said that I let somebody down in the next generation. Stand. Look fiercely at your neighbor and tell him, stand therefore. God. Stand having your loins girt about with truth. Truth will keep you from hemorrhaging to death, and it will keep, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. If you had the Bible study, you know this. If you haven't had the Bible study, you need to have a Bible study because you have a 90% a better a 90% improved chance of surviving in the kingdom of God if you have a home Bible study. And you're 33% better looking if you have a home Bible study. Don't you love statistics? I never knew. Loins girt about with truth. If you're going to project the kingdom of God, reproduce yourself in the kingdom of God, it's going to take truth. You can't reproduce the kingdom of God if you slip off into error. If you embrace the non-biblical Christian church or the quasi-Christian church, if you get out of what God has taught, Dawson was talking about doctrine, but if you begin to hand weave your own doctrine or pick up traditional doctrines of the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church, you are not going to propagate the kingdom of God. You're going to propagate man's tradition. But tonight you need to make a stand for the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, your breastplate protects your heart and your lungs. Your lung is breathing in and breathing out. There's never been a more powerful type of what happens in prayer and in praise. You're breathing in the Spirit of God. Every time you pray, you tank up on the Holy Ghost again. And that breastplate protected their lungs and their heart. The Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The apostle tells you that righteousness is that breastplate. So you can't let down your guard, and you can't dabble in sin, and you can't back off on your personal standards or the standards of the Word of God. And you can't say, well, I'm just going to live a little bit lower than the standard of the church, because you leave yourself exposed in the arena of spiritual warfare. Praise God. Righteousness will keep you. You want to be right. Verse 15. Your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace, so you have traction and so you can't be moved out of the way. You got to know the gospel, and you got to experience the gospel, and you've got to teach and witness concerning the gospel. Verse 16. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He's got fiery darts. He's humming at you every day. He wants to change your mind. He wants you to leave your wife and chase another woman. But the shield of faith quenches that fiery dart. He wants you to back off on the commitments and the dedication and the consecrated lifestyle that you presented on an altar before God. But the shield of faith quenches that fiery dart. And you open your mouth and you say what the Word of God said. Faith cometh by, and that by the, and so your faith is linked to your knowledge of the Word of God. So what is the shield of faith? The shield of faith is my operative knowledge of the Word of God. Because when Jesus was tempted of the devil, he didn't say, no, I don't want to do that. He said, it is written, it is said, and he quotes the Word of God. And so you need to have the Word of God readily handy. Now, there is another sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But I'm telling you, when Jesus was defending himself with a shield in the wilderness, it was the Word of God. And that's where your faith is showcased. When you look the devil in the eye, you hear his temptation, and you lift up the shield of faith. And you said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you turn aside everything that he tries to tempt you with. The helmet of salvation, you have to know that you know that you know. You have to know who you are. You have to know that you're saved. And you have to get it all straight in your mind. If you're living in a confused, twisted arena of doubts and wonderings and questions, you'll never be settled enough to accomplish anything for God. And you'll probably lose your own soul. You've got to go ahead and cross over. You've got to go ahead and be a true believer. Get a hold of this thing. Be absolutely through and through sold out to the idea of the gospel. I've been washed in the blood. I've been filled with the Spirit. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. The helmet of salvation. It will keep you. What was the first thing the devil said to Jesus in the wilderness? If you be the Son of God. He wanted to get into his mind and cause him to question his experience in God. How many of you in the house know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight? Praise God. Now, some of you are kind of slow on the uptake. I want everybody that's righteous in the house to stand up tonight. Who taught you growth class? Okay. So they don't know yet the lesson here. So you want to explain it to them? What?
We're righteous because he's righteous and we have the Holy Ghost.
That's right. We're righteous because he's righteous. It's not my righteousness. It's not my strength, my goodness. Sit down. Now, everybody that's holy, I want you to stand up. See, it's the same question. In essence, it's the same question. And why can they stand up? Because see, they're, you know what their question is. What's their question? Why are they so slow to stand up? Sure, you know. Because only God is righteous. I'm not righteous. I'm not holy. But listen what happened. God said, you've been baptized in Jesus' name? You got the Holy Ghost? God said, in a voice that sounds like Niagara Falls, you are now righteous. God said, you are now holy. So you're arguing with God? God's right. God covers you. Has he covered your sin? You got some sin sticking out down there around your foot? No. No spots, no wrinkles, no blemishes. Perfect before God? Huh? Well, are you covered by the blood or ain't you? Huh? Well, if you're covered by the blood, then you're righteous and you're holy. No, you got to get this, because here's where the devil's coming after you. He's going to say, I know what you were thinking. I know what you did. I saw what you did. I heard what you said. How in the world can you go in that church and worship God? You're nothing but a hypocrite. And you take him by the front of his garment. And you, if you were a guy, I'd pull you right in here. And I'd say, you listen to me, devil. What did the preacher say Sunday night? What did the preacher say Sunday night? That's right. You say, you shut up, you devil. Listen to me real good. God covered me. And you know what I just did? I know I fell, but I repented. And God covered me again. And I'm righteous and I'm holy. And it's not my strength, but it's his strength. And it's not my righteousness, but it's his righteousness. Well, if you're happy about it, shout about it a little bit. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Well, that's just a big cover-up. That's exactly right. That's what it is. That's what Calvary is. Calvary's a big cover-up. Love hides a multitude of sins. Well, praise God. Let's clap our hands into it and bless his name. Praise God. Well, what to call. Let's do this. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll skip over some really good stuff. Maybe hit it next time. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Paul says, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. to the intent that now, everybody say, to the intent, that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, what are we warring against? Not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers in heavenly places. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God is using you. God's doing a lot of things at once. He's saving those that are going to be saved. He's doing the work of salvation. He's doing a lot of things at once. But something he's doing is he's showing the wisdom of God to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Praise God. Come here, Mario. Don't want to be used? Don't sit on the front row. Come walk with me. I'll buy you a cheeseburger.
You've done it 1,000 times.
I have. That's 1,000 cheeseburgers. Let's see. You're in good shape for 1,000 cheeseburgers. What is God showing the devil by you? The mystery of God hidden through the ages. He's showing the devil something. Principalities and powers and heavenly places. You remember what the... Come walk with me. You remember what the devil told God about Job? Job chapter 1. God said, have you considered my servant Job?
Yes.
And the devil said, well, yeah. You got a hedge about him. And I can't get to him. But do you remember what he told God about Job?
Yes, sir.
What?
If you lower your hedge, I can make him curse you to your face.
If you let me touch him, I can. Only reason he loves you is because you're doing all this good stuff in his life. But if you let me touch him, I can make him curse you to your face. And God said, really? And the devil said, really? And God said, go ahead. But you can't touch his body. After he destroys everything in Job's life, chapter 2 begins the same way. Satan, where you been?
With Job.
Going to and fro in the earth, up and down in it, with Job. He said, have you considered my servant Job, who is still perfect, even though you provoked me to touch him without a cause? And Satan said, yea, but skin for skin, a man will give anything for his own life. If you'll let me touch his body, I can make him curse you to your face. And God said,
go ahead.
Go do it. God said, really? And the devil said, really? I can do that. And so he goes and he covers him from the top of his head to the sole of his foot with sore boils. Yeah. And so see, now here's the deal with Satan. Satan is made by God. Satan is consummate evil. There's no reasoning with him. He's just like badness through and through. Just, he believes he can still overthrow God because the Bible says he's going to set up his throne in the temple showing that he is God. He believes that he can overthrow you. He is convinced that he can overthrow you and Job. He blew it with Job, but I know that they had a conversation last week and God said, have you seen Mario down there? And the devil said, yeah, but he only loves you and worships you because everything in his life, he was born rich and good looking and has a big, fine car and everybody loves him. Just act like it. Come on. And, but if you let me touch him, I can make him curse you to your face. Not even a question of will he worship you. I can make him curse you to your face. You know what God's doing with you? To the intent that God's wisdom can be shown to the principalities and powers in high places. Satan was in a perfect place. He was made perfectly. He was God's angel of light, the choir director in the heavenlies. He was there. He had it made. He walked upon the stones of fire in the presence of God. He was full of musical instruments. He's the God of music. He's the God of this world. But he had wickedness in his heart and tried to ascend above God and fell like the lightnings out of the heavens. You know what he's showing all those angels? By your testimony? Because here's the ugly truth. You weren't born rich or good looking. And you don't have a fine car. And well, it wasn't like perfect like I was making it before. That's all I'm saying. It wasn't like perfect like before. You have some difficulties in your life, huh? Did you, when you first came to God, did you come to God because all of your family was coming and living for God? And when you started living for God, they were saying, "We're so proud of you. That's just perfect. We're so glad you're a part of the church and you're living for God." And they were all excited about it. And they'd helped you along the way live for God.
I wish it was that easy.
It wasn't like that at all, was it? And it's been just roses and violins and sweetness all the way through living for God. You've had some valleys. You've had some trouble. You've had some resistance. Devil's come to see you. Yeah. What are you still doing here?
Living for God. I love him.
You're living for God? You know what he's showing the devil? He's showing the devil, you didn't live for God in a perfect place. You wouldn't worship me in a perfect place. But my guy Mario, he's down there in a devil-filled world with real-time trouble going on in his life. But when the house of God is open, he's in the house of God. When it's time to worship, he's on deck. When it's time to pray, he's standing in a place of prayer. He's living for God. When you... Your life is a sermon every time you pray, every time you sing, every time you worship. You're showing the Prince of Birmingham. You're showing the Prince of Jefferson County. You're showing the demonic spirits in heavenly places how you worship and you live for God. Let's give God a little praise and let's magnify his name. My God.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, let's give him high praise. Somebody open the portal tonight with prayer, with praise, with talking in tongues, with prophecy. Just for a moment, let something flow from the depth of your wellspring tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I'm going to quit. We've got too much to do and not enough time, and you'll feel better about all this in the morning if you get a decent night's sleep. Let's gather down around the altar tonight if we could. If you're here and you never have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can have it tonight. If you've never been down in the water in Jesus' name, God will wash all your sins away tonight. As you get here tonight, link up with somebody beside you. And as you touch them, tell them one of us can set 1,000 to flight. But two of us can set 10,000 to flight. If you're first, step up. Thank you, thank you. Come on, make some room. Now I want you to just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost for one another. Let that heavenly language flow. Let that anointing flow in every vessel. Touch every vessel. Touch every life. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Somebody press in tonight. Come on. Holy Ghost.
I'm still standing.
Mighty, mighty God.
I'm still standing.
Somebody press in the Holy Ghost tonight. Open up a portal. Cause something to begin to move in the heavenlies tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just give him a little bit of praise and worship. Magnify his name. How awesome are you, O God? How worthy of all the praise. We magnify you. We praise you. We worship you. We lift you up, O God. Well, if you were here the first time I went through spiritual warfare, you knew it. You know it took us about 18 weeks to get through it. So we just kind of scratched the surface of it tonight. But what an awesome day to be alive in the kingdom of God. I'm so excited about the prospect of what God is doing in you and doing in your ministry and in your family and in this church family. And I'll just tell you, it is incredible to consider what God is able to do here and do with you in a very, very short span of time. There are people all over this city right now that are hungry for the gospel and hungry for the truth of God. But they want to come. They're hungry for it. But they're bound up. They're locked up tight by all kinds of demonic and spiritual hindrances. Whether it's tradition or false doctrine or false prophecy. Addictive behaviors. All kinds of things. But when you begin to pray and prophesy and worship, things begin to move in the heavenlies. And when light comes down and when power begins to be released, when Paul and Silas felt their chains fall off, everybody else in the jail felt their chains fall off. When God shook that place for those two disciples, he shook the place for everybody that was held captive there. So as we create the flow of commerce between the heavenlies and the earthly, we not only create it for ourselves and for our homes and families, but it's going to change the spiritual destiny of this city. Praise God. God bless you. Love and appreciate you. We'll have church here, a dynamic move of God Sunday morning and Sunday night. There are flyers in the foyer, and they're just generic flyers, but nope. Oh, only Sunday morning this week. Oh, guess what we're